Welcome to Lasting Truth, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Sweet Hills in Banning, California, where Pastor Ryan Hussein teaches the entire Word of God, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, giving our listeners the opportunity of receiving the full counsel of God. In today's program, we are studying the book of Luke, chapter 23. Here's Pastor Ryan.
He's either God or he's not. He's either your king or he's not. And so it goes back to, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I say? So the world is very much that way. There's churches, kids, I'm glad you're here. There are churches totally set up to be like, totally entertaining, totally easy on the conviction, and where it's all like spectacular music, worship, loud lights, very little Bible, more happy feel messages. We call them seeker friendly messages, where we seek to make the seeker comfortable, and so that they continue to come and fill the church and help pay the bills. Jesus preached, kids, and people bounced. Okay, they bounced time and again. Yes, there were moments where there was crowds, and but there were other, he thinned them out by saying he is the only way. So this is a world that we live in a world where there are many Christians and churches who's just looking for, you know, easy, soft, no conviction, nothing about repentance, nothing about sin, nothing about the cross, just Easter bunnies. That's why I sent you what I sent you. Paul would tell Timothy, preach the word. 2 Timothy 4. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince. This is what a church should do. Convince, rebuke, exhort, with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. Because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Nothing is more scary to me than someone who claims they're a Christian and has a Herod attitude. Like, I just want to see a miracle. You know, I don't want to, like, grow. I don't want to learn. I don't want to die to self. That's scary. If you're single here and you're, like, praying about getting married and you're, like, looking at, like, Christian dates, sites and stuff they have, I'm not condemning that. I'm not. But what I am saying is, everyone on those sites is going to say they're a legitimate Christian. You had better know what the difference is. A legitimate Christian wants nothing more than to obey God's word. Oh, but he goes to church. Oh, but she's like in the choir. No. Do they love God to the point where they're willing to die for him? That will make a good spouse. And so Pilate and Herod become friends. Then Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, said to them, "You have brought this man to me as one who misleads the people, and indeed, having examined him in your presence, I have found no fault in this man concerning those things of which you accuse him. No, neither did Herod, for I sent you back to him, and indeed, nothing deserving of death has been done by him. I will therefore chastise him and release him, for it was necessary for him to release one to them at the feast." And so again, there's this continual, he's faultless, he's innocent. Herod says it, I said it, they don't know, but his wife said it. Judas would return the 30 pieces of silver because he said, I've betrayed innocent blood. Testimony upon testimony that Jesus was sinless, that this was all about you and I. because God loves you so much. And they all cried out at once, saying, "Away with this man and release to us Barabbas, who had been thrown into prison for a certain rebellion made in the city and for murder." Another gospel says that he was a robber as well. A robber, a murderer. And Pilate, therefore, wishing to release Jesus, again called out to them, but they shouted, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Then he said to them a third time, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found no reason for death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go." But they were insistent, verse 33, demanding with loud voices that he be crucified. And the voices of these men and of the chief priests prevailed. So Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they requested. And he released to them the one that they requested, who for rebellion and murder had been thrown into prison. But he delivered Jesus to their will. Kids, don't do what the crowds tell you to do. Don't let peer pressure push you into a corner. You belong to God. You're not in bondage to anybody. You say, as if, and do your own thing in the Lord. Do not give your friends that kind of power. That power belongs to your King, your Savior, and let no one dissuade you from following them and doing the right thing. Hang around with like-minded people. And parents, don't use your kids to be missionary kids for bad kids, right? The bad kids are going to win that fight. You're supposed to shield them. And even if there's other Christian parents that you want to let your kids go play with, make sure that those Christian parents have the same kind of convictions as you, because they may have been saved yesterday and they're still listening to, you know, Jennifer Lopez or whoever. You know what I mean? So you gotta be really careful with the little ones. I don't condemn her. I'm just saying, you know what I mean? We're all sinners, so. He gave in, though. In Matthew 27, verse 24 through 26, it says that when Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, mind you, what they said to him was, "Hey, if you let him go, you're no friend of Caesar. We're gonna go tell the king on you if you let this guy go, because he says he's a king." And they said, "Our only king is Caesar." Remember that? And when Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see it." Again, Pilate literally says, "He's a just person. I'm innocent." But he's not. You're not innocent. That KFC that you enjoyed in your life, those meals, the good things in your life to the non-believer, they think it's free. One day they're going to have to stand before a God who loved them and made them and created them and had blessed them, even though they can care less about Jesus. And he's going to hold them accountable. Why, if you were so blessed, you had food, you had clothing, you had drink, why didn't you give thanks, God? Why did you suppress the truth? Because you wanted to live for yourself. And then Jesus is going to drop the hammer. So Pilate, you can wash your hands as many times as you want, but that right there is on you as well. And he represents the whole Gentile world, and the religious leaders represent the whole, you know, religious Jewish system. So it's the whole world is under trial here. And all the people answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And in scourging, most men did not survive a scourging. Jesus was brutalized. He was innocent. Scourging was meant to draw a confession out of a criminal, meaning we will hit you harder unless you confess. Jesus What did he have to confess, guys? Nothing. So he took all 39 stripes. 40 minus 1. Pilate sent him to the praetorium, where the Roman garrison was called, hey, come, and they mocked him. They spit on him. They put a crown of thorns on him, a purple robe on him, a reed. And they began to say, Hail, King of the Jews. And Pilate brought him out before them in hopes that they would see Jesus so beat up that they'd have mercy and say, okay. Release him and keep Barabbas. And Pilate said, Behold the man. He probably, in all of his years of being a governor, all of his years of trials, had never seen a prisoner not confess, Behold the man. Now as they led him away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming from the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. And so why did they get Simon to carry the cross? Because Jesus could not bear it anymore. He was so dehydrated, he was so broken, that he couldn't carry the cross up to Golgotha, the place of the skull. He couldn't do it anymore. And this Simon, you know, he did that for our king. I mean, that's a special guy. In heaven, one guy carried Jesus' cross. But I'm convicted and convinced that hopefully us, in a spiritual sense, at Sweet Hills, we're a church that hopefully is recognized for being a people that carries the cross of Jesus today. That we are a people that aren't complacent, too busy for God, too busy living our own lives and trying to fit God into our schedule, rather than living lives where God is our schedule. And when what the king says, if he says to jump, we say, How high? If he says to go, we go. If he says to stop, we stop. If he says now, we do. If he says to wait, then we wait. It's all about practicing submission to the king. For eternity, we're going to get really good at just doing what he says. To do what he says versus what we want to do, that is taking up our cross. It's putting our will aside. It's putting our priorities aside for his priorities. And I fear that in these last days, there are so many Christians that are complacent. So many Christians that have excused themselves from the service of God. Excused themselves. Every reason in the book. And it's very simple. The word of God simply teaches us the right way. And Jesus said, Serve me, and he who serves me, my Father will honor. He saved us so that we can participate in saving others and in helping out in our churches and in being salt and light. Not to just, you know. We all need a vacation, and I take them often as I need to. And you need to. Some folks have been on vacations for years. You know, what are you going to say? Do you even believe that it is a very serious thing to be alone with Jesus? The very first time you meet Jesus at the Bema Seat of Christ, if you're a Christian, that's a very serious moment. What did you do with the time that I gave you? How did you respect my word, honor my authority? What did you do? And Paul would say concerning the Bema Seat of Christ, we, knowing the terror of the Lord, we are trying to persuade people. That's the exhortation. Come on, get up. Get in the game. Get off the sidelines. Stop focusing on yourself. Who cares about ourselves? It's about our King. Jesus would say, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. In other words, if you want to do your own thing, yeah, you may not get struck by lightning. People can do their own thing for a long time. I'm a sometimers. I sometimes go to church. You know, Good Friday, Easter, yeah, I'll be there. Christmas, sure. But sometimes. What is a sometimes? There's nothing in the Bible that says sometimes. You're either with him or not. He's the one that says, you know, that he doesn't like lukewarmness. And no one likes lukewarm coffee. Either iced coffee or hot coffee. The Lord's the same way. We're either going to be hot for the Lord or cold. He doesn't respect the in-between. There's so many people. It's a pastor's burden. I wouldn't be a pastor if I didn't care, if I didn't tell you. But this is what we see. Look at how he deals with the churches in Revelation. He's got a lot to say to the churches. Like, what are you doing? And to the church of Philadelphia, it's all about the word. You have kept my word, and I'm going to keep you from the hour of trial that's going to come upon the whole world, because that's a church that's going to get raptured. The other ones are going to still be here and have to die for Christ to get to heaven. Which, if you can't live for him now, how are you going to die for him later? Now, today is the day of salvation. Today, we remember the cross. The cross tells me it's about what he wants. Because in our story, the disciples are gone. Pilate is condemning them when he shouldn't. The religious leaders are condemning them. Judas betrayed them. There's a lot of not nice things about the trial that are here. We have to be in the game. We have to carry his cross, just like Simon. Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 9, therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Paul, in other words, says, yeah, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So I'm going to put my body in subjection. I'm going to, by God's help, by God's strength, tell my lazy body who wants to be complacent, you know what? You will go to church. I don't care if you have the sniffles. I don't care if you're tired. Get up and go. That's where the divine appointment's going to happen. The enemy is always in the mix, as Joel says. He possessed Judas. He was there at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. He tempted him for 40 days. He's in the mix. So you should look at like kind of the hardships that you feel in your body. Oh man, there's no way I'm going to go. I'm going to give myself a break. You know, and again, from time to time, that's good. But if it's a break all the time, where we see you once a month, that's between you and God. You're missing out on the blessings. The crazy thing about this church is Jesus tends to show up eventually. In part of my sermon, sometimes, he's going to show. Because he loves this place and he loves you. And he will squeeze something good out of this donkey. But I mentioned the Church of Philadelphia because it is all about the Word of God. The word of God in a family, the word of God in you is what's going to make us more like Christ. It is going to make you disciplined. It's going to make you thoughtful. It's going to make you compassionate and kind. It's going to make you strong when you're weak. It's the word, the word, the word that is going to it's so beneficial. It is your vitamins. It is your life. And the reason why the church is so sick in general is the word is being, the word is everything. Why do people fall away? It's because they don't heed the word. They don't read it. Or if they read it, it's religious. They're not going to do it. They're going to ignore the parts that they want to ignore. As a pastor, I see these things. I see people who are on fire for evangelism, but their home is a mess. on fire for evangelism, but on fire to get the message out to everyone, but their home is a mess. And they fear getting their home in line because their wives might leave them. They're in fear of getting their homes in line. They're in fear of addressing family issues with the word, because the word will injure the kids and the kids will leave. God forbid, I can't live without them. But let's reach the whole world. That's so backwards. Christ begins at home. Everyone needs to be in line. Mama, dada, kids, everyone in line. Cool. The house is the Lord's. We shall worship the Lord, like Joshua said, for me and my house. You can't get that straight. You're going to go bring people into buildings that aren't disciples. They're just people in buildings, which a lot of churches in America are packed with people that aren't really disciples. Jesus said, go and make disciples. Disciples is you give them the word. And they receive and they learn, and you give them the milk of the word and they grow. People who don't want to be disciples are people who don't want the word. They don't want the challenge of the conviction and the change. So we want to be like the church at Philadelphia. We get it together in our homes. Shoot, God will bring us enough people. I'm telling you. Judgment begins in the house of the what? The Lord. And a great multitude of people, verse 27, followed him, and women who also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, blessed are the barren wombs that never bore, and breasts which never nurse. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in the greenwood, what will they do in dry? And he's really speaking of judgment that's coming. That he came hard on the Jews for their missing of the Messiah. It did come hard on them. Titus went in there and killed millions of Jews. The general Titus in 70 AD. Not one stone was left upon another. It was a brutal massacre. And so Jesus, foreseeing. But he also, the Bible says so much about the great tribulation. When God pours out his wrath on a Christ-rejecting world, people will be running to the mountains. This is why we share the gospel, because the judgment is on its way. And it's going to be so terrible that they're going to be saying, mountains, fall on us. Hide us. There were also two criminals, verse 32, led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, which is Golgotha, there they crucified him. It's called the place of a skull because the hill looks like a skull. If you go there, you can still see it today. And the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. And then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. When he was crucified, when they laid him on that rugged cross, and it blows my mind that Jesus, the son of a carpenter who dealt with wood his whole life, is now being nailed to a cross. But when he was nailed, his hands and his feet to the cross in front of all of those people, mocking and jeering at him. I wonder how many of those sisters that were there, we know Mary Magdalene and the Lord's mother was there, and other Marys and other sisters were there, and John the beloved also would be there, but I wonder how many of them had been that close to an actual crucifixion. It's not something that the women and children go to check out. But because it's the Lord, can you imagine? They're there. And they nailed them there. And Jesus beautifully says to them, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Jesus could no longer go anywhere. He's nailed to that cross.
Thank you for joining us today at Lasting Truth Radio. If you're in the area, come on out and join us for Sunday services at 8:30 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. or Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. We are located at 3035 West Nicollet Street in Banning, California. You can also find us on YouTube or Instagram. If you'd like to donate to our program, please do so on our website at ccsweethills.org and hit the online giving tab. We hope you will continue to tune in as we journey through the entire Word of God with the teaching of Pastor Ryan Hussein at Calvary Chapel, Sweet Hills.